It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. RedEyeRadioShow.com is where we stream our show live, or you can get our app, put it on your phone, and listen when you wish to.
And thank you.
When and where you wish to, in fact. We make it so easy for you.
Yeah. And thank you. We appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Interesting week.
Yeah.
Would you say?
I would say yesterday, a monumental shift. Which we sensed was coming. I didn't know that I expected it to happen within a few hours, but the head of the teachers union announcing that they're going to push for getting kids back into classrooms in September full-time, 5 days a week. And then it wasn't shortly after that, the CDC comes out and says, if you've been fully vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask indoors. You don't need to socially distance. And so it's clear that this was not working. This tactic was not working. This strategy for them was not working, I think, especially on the masks. I think it could be a couple of different reasons, one or both of the reasons, following reasons, and that is, okay, it was politically, it wasn't working. There was the backlash. But beyond that, it was likely getting in the way of them getting on with, how do you get critical race theory implemented into public schools if they're not back at school yet, right? And also, if the little bothersome, you know, fly that's flying around the head of the Democratic Party right now, that is the mask mandate or suggestion or guidelines by the CDC, is just getting in the way, I think, for them, was getting in the way of them moving on with their agenda. There was way too much media coverage of that. But here's what's interesting. They built that. The liberal media is part of, you know, this whole doing it for, you know, the reason as Rand Paul made the point a few weeks ago, putting on a show. You're doing it for show. You're not doing it for scientific reasons. It is virtue signaling, and it was really starting to ramp up. And I think that was likely getting in the way of their agenda, because they believe the strategy for critical race theory and all this other stuff in public schools, I think, honestly, they believe that it's going to work for them. I don't. You don't.
No.
But well, believe it.
I don't know if they think it's going to work for them. I honestly believe that it is so ingrained that if you look at masks, it's, look, this is working against us. We can't win this. We're losing it with our own party, because it's everybody has moved on and we look idiotic.
Yeah,
and I
right.
bet you the polling show that. I don't think that, I don't know, for example, if Biden has had the thought process or inside the White House, you know, they agree with the critical race theory. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they believe they can convince the rest of America on it, but I think it's so ingrained, the bigotry, the intolerance, the stereotyping, the modern day racism that you see coming out of the Democratic Party is so ingrained, and they're so unified on it as a party, even though the rank and file voter Democrat may not agree with it. It's been around so long. Identity politics has been around so long. You think Democrats are ever going to move away from the fact that all blacks must think alike? And if you don't think alike, if you're a conservative, then you're not truly black? They've held that that's been an opinion for a couple of decades at least.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to the mid-90s and find that mindset exists.
Yeah.
I think that identity politics, which is stereotyping people, which is racist, by the groups that they're in, is so ingrained in the party. I don't know if they think it's a winner. I guess if it's ingrained that much, they must think it is. They have to be delusional in that thought.
Well, you know, I mean, Stacey Abrams believes it's a winning strategy.
She does.
She's said it.
But when you see the fact, I will say this, that we know for whatever reason that masks they could dump. Biden could sit there and come out knowing that he was going to get criticism from AOC and say, basically, you know, Israel has a right to defend themselves from Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she went crazy. The left went crazy. But you can still hold on to that opinion because you believe there's probably, you can say, well, there's enough Democrats that are Jewish that will support Biden on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and so masks we have to get rid of because the public is moving away. But they're sticking with the identity politics with their racist mindset because I think it's just been ingrained for decades now in the party. And as we've seen before with the Democrats, how long did it take for them to get racism out of their party?
Right. Yeah.
100 years?
Yeah.
Well, really, not 100 years because it's still it's still a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so you know, that's one thing where the table has turned completely, I think, with the American public over a period of the last 20 years with the identity politics in full display is America sees what's going on and the bigotry and the intolerance and the stereotyping and the racism. They see it in the Democratic Party, but the Democrats themselves in the party don't see it.
Right.
And I can't tell you why. It's obvious. Look, we pound this day in and day out because they pound it. And the only way to debate them is to show the American public and our listeners that they're the racists. And if we probably said this 10 years ago or 5 years ago, Democrats would be screaming at us.
Mm-hmm.
We get nothing on this, folks.
No.
Nothing. Nothing. There is no pushback on this at all. Why? And that's why we continue to say Democrats know that it's true. Every Democrat listening right now knows that the party that owns racism and promotes stereotyping and intolerance and bigotry and judges people by the groups that they're in and by their skin color is the Democrats.
Right.
It's pure racism. And what you saw from Jen Psaki yesterday, again, as we promoted, as we talked about earlier, is trying to normalize it. Well, no, we think it's fine to do that. Oh, okay, we'll talk in racist tones, but we'll just do it in a softer voice.
Mm-hmm.
And America, we believe, will accept racism more if it's done in a softer tone instead of a loud tone.
Right. Well, I think that's their, you know, that's because the next move would be then beyond that, it's going to be about, of course, spending. Expanding benefits.
Yeah. Well, that all comes with the, you know, the victim mentality, as we've talked about before.
Exactly. But. And, you know, this is, I think they honestly wanted to get a lot of this stuff off of their plate. It wouldn't surprise me if you know, a number of key players within the party, you know, just said, look, we've got to get beyond this whole thing. Because, you know, when was it? Was it the rally in Georgia where the president was looking for his mask and he said he's in trouble and then it was in his pocket?
Yeah.
And you don't see...
Outdoors.
Right. And you don't see any other member of the party defending him or ever even bringing any of that up. None of them talked about it. None of them went out to defend it and say, well, no, we believe the president's doing the right. Jen Psaki is the closest you would get. But in terms of leaders of the other leaders in the party, other members of the party, nobody touched that. I'm guessing they were frustrated as all of us who were just laughing at these CDC guidelines to begin with are, but for different reasons.
Well, the imagery that comes out of yesterday, the imagery based on the substance is, it's over.
Yep.
It's
oh,
over.
Yeah, it's definitely.
It's back to normal life.
Yep. Because you're not going to ask people for their cards. You're not going to enforce this. There was CDC guidelines, there was never any enforcement anyway. But this changes the tone. The tone now is completely different. You'll start seeing, I think, more and more businesses that will just take their signs down quietly. I think that's going to be the case. And they may require their employees to wear the mask for a little while longer. But I think you're going to see more and more businesses just quietly take down the signs.
Well, it was over to the public anyway.
Yes.
And we had said this a ways back.
Right.
Probably, where are we now? I mean, we had said in March, we said by the time you get to May 1st, this will basically be over.
Right.
Now, because of the Johnson & Johnson thing, you had fewer people that got the vaccines. But we're talking about the time, okay, you know, we had always said some May 1st, it could be, but sometime in May.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not going to be July 1st. Just by the number of people that were getting the vaccine, you could see what was going to happen.
Right, right.
And so we're at the 14th today. And mm-hmm. so they set it on the 13th. So our timeline was just about right. But even in March, we said anybody can look at this. If you're a layperson, you can see how many people are getting a vaccine every day, and you know what herd immunity is, and we believe that more people than whatever it was at that time, 28, 29 million back then, that they said had the virus. We said, no, it's got to be 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Who knows how many people actually have the virus? So if you get the vast majority of senior citizens, and now I think it's close to almost 85% of seniors that's over 65 have gotten their first shot.
Right.
And I think 72% at that point have gotten their second. And the same with those that have underlying conditions, then you've solved the problem at that point.
Right.
Anything else is a bonus vaccine wise, but those other demographics aren't really highly affected by the virus, as is the elderly and those with underlying conditions. So we saw it coming.
Right.
We knew it. Mm-hmm. We sort of had the timeline. We gave an estimate of lay people that the experts were completely and totally wrong on. Why? Because we weren't playing politics with it. They
right.
were.
Right.
There was no politics. There's never been. If you've been listening to the show from day one, we said politics have nothing to do with this. And when people would come out and say the masks are useless or the masks work 100% or they don't work at all, we said, no, there's a mitigating factor in there when it comes to how a virus is spread and the inertia of somebody who sneezes, whatever. And what it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know whether it was 5% or 10% or 3% or 50% and exactly how far, you know, the virus, you know, might not go with, you know, water droplets or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure, but could it mitigate it? Of course it did. That's why masks are around.
Right.
And have been around for a long time.
Right.
So it was never 100% or 0% as it was being promoted at times. Well, if it doesn't work at 100%, then it's useless. Well, not necessarily. It does mitigate it to an extent, but I don't know. And they were doing experiments to try to figure out how much the mitigation was.
Right.
But it was never politics with us. It was always, how does the virus work? What's the medical science behind it?
Yeah. Right.
And it became political, as everything does. So I'm not surprised by it, but that's not how we viewed it. So we were able to look at it and say, well, this thing's going to be over by May.
Mm.
You're never going to get to July 4th. Because whenever Biden said that about the 4th of July is when we came out and said he's full of it.
Right. Yep.
And that's not going to happen by July 4th. We stated that. Right. It's not going to happen. Well, all you had to do was be a layperson with a basic knowledge of science and a basic knowledge of how many people every day were getting the vaccine and stating that if the efficacy rates were even close to that, this thing would be over by May.
Yeah, right.
So if they couldn't figure it out and now we're here and we're right and they're wrong, and again, not bragging in any way, this is one of those things that the two idiots overnight could figure it out, so could anybody. The reason they didn't figure out is they were virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing politics with
it. Right.
Why? We believe one of it was to control the public's mindset in order to spend the daylights out of future generations' money, that we can get our liberal objectives done if we keep promoting this fear. Well, people aren't stupid.
Right.
Well, they may be willfully ignorant, but they're not stupid.
Well, and that's it. Because there is no, it was about spending a lot more money. And if you're against spending the money, you don't care. You want people to die.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
When it comes to truck maintenance, sometimes it's the little things that can cause the most trouble, like cabin air filters. When properly serviced, cabin air filters provide a barrier between pollutants and harmful particles outside and your HVAC system. If you don't pay attention to them, however, this small part can turn into big trouble in no time. Breathe easy when you know which warning signs could indicate that your cabin air filters are clogged. A dirty, musty smell throughout the entire cab may indicate your cabin air filters are oversaturated and need to be replaced. Check the condition of your filters if you smell an unusual odor coming from your ventilation system. Need assistance? Find a TA Truck Service Center near you to have your cabin air filter serviced by the experts today.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Hey, I might be able to talk about the NFL again and be very comfortable in doing it.
Yeah, why is that?
Who knows? Maybe. Maybe this is hope. Maybe someday I can start watching the NFL again. Leftist triggered after the Buffalo Bills, Cole Beasley, mocks Fauci. Buffalo Bills and former Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah.
Wide receiver Cole Beasley mocked Dr. Anthony Fauci after the purported coronavirus expert told Americans it is safe for vaccinated people to stop wearing masks outdoors. Beasley posted a snide tweet on Thursday in reply to Fauci's proclamation. The comment came in reply to a tweet by CNN reading, Dr. Anthony Fauci says that people vaccinated against COVID-19 do not need to wear masks outside. We've got to make that transition, he says. To that message, Beasley noted that he already goes out without a mask in public. I do that without being vaccinated. Is this illegal now?
By the way, just seeing this story from, and it's part of the video that came out yesterday from Biden. And here it is from ABC News. President Biden. If you see someone in a mask, quote, please treat them with kindness and respect. We've had too much conflict. No, 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 no.
It's been reversed.
If you see someone without a mask, treat them with kindness and respect. Karen.
Beasley then launched into a series of tweets about the rules regarding masks and vaccines. Until we all share the same opinion or belief, we are considered ignorant. I don't understand. You feel how you feel, and I respect it. It doesn't always make me wrong or a bad person. I don't agree with you, because then the Karens and the Garys. I know. I came up with the Gary, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so.
Said,
yeah.
What could be a male to a Karen? And I said, well, actually, a Gary does sound like a male Karen.
Yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the name fit. It does fit. I mean, not me, not this Gary, but other Garys out there.
Yeah.
Now every conservative Gary is going to be on my case. What are you talking about? I'm not a Karen, Gary.
Yeah.
I'm not a Gary Karen.
Yeah.
And then Beasley writes, if you get vaccinated, you're good. So if I don't, I shouldn't pass it on to you regardless, right? And you can't ask those questions of as an NFL player right now.
Oh, no, no.
You cannot question the Democratic Party.
No.
If you're a member of the NFL. So he was getting blasted. But he stood his ground, and he got support from a wife of another player on the Bills.
All right. So.
Herd immunity by the time the show ends. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Also, the American Federation of Teachers president, Randy Weingarten, who seemed to be clueless the other day when she was on Fox News about critical race theory and systemic racism, even though she supported it being taught in schools, now says the union is all in on reopening schools a year after we should have.
Yeah. Okay.
And another story we got to make sure we get in before we get back to more of your calls and comments here on this bombshell Friday. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said Thursday harassment is not making someone feel uncomfortable and that he's eager to tell New Yorkers the other side of the story. So harassment, you would think, is making somebody... harassment is not making someone feel uncomfortable. So he's just saying harassment is not? If you make somebody feel uncomfortable, then that's not harassment?
Yeah, that doesn't rise to harassment.
Just want to make sure I got that right.
I mean, you would have to ask the governor for clarification, but
yes,
that's how it reads.
Well, I mean, we're in this day and age where the man, the new feminism is the man decides what is right. That's the new liberal feminism today. We know that from the liberal transgender activist. That right. What the man says goes and the woman must submit. So is this an expansion now where Cuomo sets what harassment of a female is, that the man gets to dictate and have the definition of what harassment is towards a woman? And is this with the women of New York who support and are in that group that support Cuomo? Is that, and I'm sure they're liberal, is that the new liberal feminism?
Right.
Because
we're just asking questions.
Because I would say that would be a little bit of a change from what liberal feminism used to be. I mean, now it's the man decides how women should think.
Right.
The man decides what harassment is. The man decides what the definition of a woman is. The man says it. So be it. If the man says it, it is gospel truth, and the woman must submit. The new liberal feminism of 2021.
The accused sets the rules for the accuser.
Ah, I like that. The accuser sets the definition of the crime.
Yeah, no, the accused.
The accused.
Yes.
The accused sets the definition of the wrongdoing or crime.
Yes.
Not the accuser or not the law or the actual facts on the ground.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, this is his arrogance completely running away.
Oh, I just love it.
It really is. And we talked about it with the whole you might kill grandma thing. When was that? Last week, week before, whenever it was. And because at that level, clearly the Democrats of his state, the lawmakers in his state, don't have at this point enough backing to get him out of office as numbers have fallen. But it's not at that point. Otherwise, we would have seen that happen. And so it's all about, and this is the way it is with any of them, deny, deny, deny. But this goes beyond that. Let your arrogance take the entire thing and rewrite it completely. It never happened. Nothing ever happened. On either front, nursing homes or the allegations. That's arrogance.
Here's a full statement. Could you imagine if Trump said this? Listen to this. Harassment is not making someone feel uncomfortable. That is not harassment. If I just made you feel uncomfortable, that is not harassment. That's you feeling uncomfortable. End of quote.
Right.
when questioned on the last time he took sexual harassment training.
Yeah, when was that?
I am very eager to tell the other side of the story. Well, then tell it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hear it. But I'm eager to tell you the story, except I haven't for months, and I'm not going to now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm telling you. But that's where we are. And I didn't see, did you hear an outcry from feminist organizations in New York? No. Why? Because now feminism in 2021, the man dictates feminist thought.
Yep. The man makes all the rules.
The man makes all the rules. Women of the world, submit. This is the new Gloria Steinem feminism of 2021.
That's right.
A little bit of an evolution there, wouldn't you think?
Right.
And by the way, if you don't know what Gloria Steinem came out a couple of weeks ago and said absolutely that a biological man mm-hmm. should be able to play women's sports. And if you don't agree with that, then you are a misogynist.
Right.
You are anti-woman.
Yep. And we've gone from, in recent years, from hashtag Me Too to hashtag the accused makes the rules for the accusers.
Yes. Could you imagine if a Republican said what Cuomo said? Would there be any other news item if a Republican governor said that? Oranges to oranges here.
All right.
Apples to apples.
All right.
If a Republican governor had said that, with nine allegations?
Yeah.
Nine allegations from different women against him. Wow.
Yep. I'll tell you what harassment is.
Can I? You know, I've got to ask you this because we probably had this talk. But I just don't remember the specifics of it. But you and I had said a long time ago that the liberal transgender activist movement would be the ultimate destruction of minority civil rights, starting off with, and I'm talking about the civil rights laws in this country that exist. And the end of feminism.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably said it, oh, I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago.
Right.
And we stuck with it. We said, it's impossible. You can't do it. If a man can be a woman, whenever a man says, I'm a woman, then feminism dies. Because then men can control the mindset of feminism. Did you ever think it would come to fruition? I really thought that the liberal feminist women would fight over it. And the complete surrender was Gloria Steinem coming out a couple of weeks ago and stating, no, it's anti-woman if a man can't decide when he's a woman.
Right.
I mean, it's just... there's just no critical thinking skills to that one at all.
No. Science has gone out the window.
Yeah.
They're disrespecting science.
But did you ever think... remember how organized and strong feminism... Even a couple of years ago, remember... When Trump was elected?
Mm-hmm.
And then you knew it was all going to heck when it was, I can't remember, it was one of the subsequent years after it, where then there was a split because the pink hats that the women were wearing in the first year, which represented a vagina, no longer could be used by a significant portion of those feminists because not all women... have vaginas, and then at that point there was the split in feminism at that point, but it seems like even the old guard, because there was an old guard versus a new guard of feminists, the new feminist was the one who says a man can be a woman whenever a man says they're a woman. The old guard was saying, that's not the case. Well, the old guard is the ultimate symbol of the old guard is Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
So they have completely put up the white flag and said, sorry, feminism is officially dead.
Yep. No, they've given up. It's gone.
Yep.
That's gone.
And it came from It came from the left.
Yeah.
Came from the, right. If you want the ultimate example of the liberal circular firing squad that destroyed one of the core issues for liberals for decades, and the liberals destroyed it on their own, it's feminism. Yep. Gone. Completely gone.
Yep.
Amazing. And now with Cuomo, no complaint. The man decides what harassment is.
That's right.
The man decides.
The accused sets the rules for the accusers.
The accused. The accused man sets the rules of whether the woman is a victim.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's just, the feminists are fine with it.
Yeah, they're okay with it.
What do you think the mindset is inside somebody like a Gloria Steinem? Sit down and actually say, well, wait a minute, do you realize what's going on here? You're saying the man makes the decision. How would she answer that? With any type of legitimacy, there has to be liberal feminist women out there that are livid as to what's going on, but they can't say anything because of the cancel culture. They can't say anything because of the intimidation that exists on the left. Because there has to be women that agree with what we're saying right now, every single word of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. Now, for the most part, collectively, they're silent. Only a few.
Yeah. There's that one group that's out there, but they're viewed as marginalized and anti-women. The pro-women are now the anti-women.
Right.
And the anti-women are now the pro-women.
Yep.
Everything along, they had to change the definition of everything, didn't they?
Of course.
Fascism.
Well, because how do you eventually change the fundamentals,
racism,
and ultimately constitution of a country? Well, you got to go in and change the definition, the meaning of words.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Zarin in Phoenix. We were talking about electric cars earlier, and Nancy Pelosi stating that Americans want electric vehicles, and we said, no, they do not. Zarin, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Thank you for having me on. Hey, I just wanted to give you guys and your listeners a different angle to this as far as all this solar technology and stuff that's coming down the pipe. I mean, I live in Phoenix. We get 300 days of sunshine, and I put up a bunch of photovoltaic and used Tesla batteries in a system, and I've got an electric car, and I've got an electric tractor, and there's something to be said about the energy independence. I mean, there's not too many people that are able to put a refinery in their backyard and get the fuel for their vehicle or their energy needs.
That wasn't our point. Our point is Americans don't want an electric vehicle. You may wish to have it, and you may wish to be self-sufficient, and your cost of electricity without the subsidies that you have gotten would be more, but you have chosen to do that. Our point is that Americans do not want mass-produced electric vehicles that they have to pay the full cost for. As for...
I agree that they're jamming stuff down the throat. I'm a driver for a living, and I don't see diesel going away anytime soon. I just don't...
Right.
The fuel is part of our economy. So, I mean, it's not going away. I would agree with that. But I'm just trying to express the different angle that.
Well, we know the difference.
It does offer you energy independence that away from everybody
else.
Well,
but that's an individual choice. That is not the collective demand by the marketplace.
Right. and you are paying a cost for that. Nobody is saying that you shouldn't have a choice to do it, and nobody is saying that there aren't positives in, for example, solar panels.
Right.
Solar panels, for example, I have garden solar panel lights, and they work fine in that particular instance. What we're talking about specifically is the fact of Americans don't want, she's saying Americans want electric vehicles, they don't,
right,
on any type of massive scale. As we've said, you have some people that may want it for status or whatever. And the other point he wanted to make was that, well, you don't have to worry about the spike in fuel prices. Actually, you would. President Obama made it clear that the cap and trade system would skyrocket electricity prices. That is the goal of the Democrats, to skyrocket electricity prices. So,
sure.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Get our Red Eye Radio app, put it on your phone today, and you can be the dictator of when you listen to the show.
You can control your own life, even to the extent of knowing when and where to wear a mask.
You can now listen to the Red Eye Radio app without wearing a mask.
That's right.
Indoors or outdoors.
Right. So, what are the odds that later today we'll see Fauci on TV and then all of a sudden he'll, you know, kind of Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, like, rip a mask off and it's actually Rand Paul? After what happened yesterday, because a couple of things, of course, you know, the after the head of the teachers union came out doing an about face saying, oh, no, full on back at school 5 days a week in the fall, which they could have done a year ago. But then after that, the CDC coming out, if you're fully vaccinated, you can now go without wearing a mask and you don't have to social distance while indoors. Which is,
by the way, when we say a year from now, we're going from September to last September.
Yes, the beginning of last school year.
Right, beginning of last school
year. And so now we look at the whole idea of the mask. They come out with this no social distancing. And by the way, just the science just magically changed just in a matter of days. A few weeks ago, Fauci was going head to head with Rand Paul. Over, and Rand Paul's point was, I've been fully vaccinated. I don't need to wear a mask.
And he was telling him, yes, you
and,
do.
And yesterday, Fauci confirmed that Rand Paul was right. There's no other way to look at that. The science didn't change in 3 weeks. Sorry, but it didn't. And 3 weeks ago, we were still on, especially with the most vulnerable in our society, we had vaccinated at least the majority of them, overwhelming majority of them, had gotten at least their first shot. Now you look at it, and again, where did the science change in a few weeks? It didn't. And Fauci yesterday saying, oh, no, he agrees. Yeah, we should be able to take our mask off. Now it's, and last night on Jake Tapper, Fauci. Oh, yeah, schools, 5 days a week. Yeah, definitely. In September, we're going full on.
You know, and it was, because it was March they went at it, then they went at it again a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2-3 weeks ago they went at it again about masks?
Right.
And he was saying, what do you, because Rand Paul was on it, the big one that first started it was back in March.
Right.
But what we talked about a few weeks ago, of course, wasn't March. We were still, I believe, in April. at that point, and Fauci again, and him were going at it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just said it doesn't make any sense. You can see it. You can see the line that everything is going down. We know that if you get it, we're getting the results of the vaccine, or if you've got the vaccine or if you've had it, the efficacy rate is huge. It's as good as better,
right?
Or was marketed, and you're still treating people that are vaccinated as if, you know, they need to wear masks. Why? Well, the variants. He goes, there is no evidence that the variants are spreading. It looks like the vaccines are taking care of them. Well, they might not, but there is no evidence that they aren't. Right. So if you go by that philosophy, then we will never, you know, come back.
Right.
All of a sudden, the variants are not even an issue anymore.
No. In fact, yesterday, really nothing was an issue in terms of the science. It just for them magically changed. Well, it didn't magically change. It politically changed.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. The politics of it. And you and I talked about this, if you've been listening to the show here for the last month. Even before that, because we were talking about this. We were talking about this in March because we could see the trajectory of the vaccines. We could see what was happening. We could project how many people were going to get it. We could project when we were much closer to herd immunity, when the virus couldn't spread anymore. And we always said, if the efficacy is what they say it is, well, then you're going to reach it at a particular amount of time. And we always figured it would be, we knew May 1st or sometime after. But we knew definitely, because when Biden was talking about the fact that, you know, we're not going to be able to get together on families aren't going to be able to get together in any type of intimate outdoor setting even. Remember that?
Right.
For 4th of July, we're saying, stop it. Why are you doing that? And then when Walensky came out in April and talked about the fact that she was, you know, absolutely, you know, fearful of the impending doom. And now she's out there yesterday saying, oh, no, you don't need a mask indoors or outdoors. I'm like, then what was that all about? It was about fear. And we asked that because things weren't unknown at that time. We could figure out, and we always say this, if the two idiots overnight can figure it out, it's not that hard.
Right.
And so why was there no sense of optimism? Remember, I think National Review, Wall Street Journal, just, you know, in the last month came out and said there should be incredible optimism of what's happening right now. And they're talking as if we're in the middle of the pandemic like it's last July or last August.
Yep.
And it just made no sense, or November or December. Or last April, you know, March and April, when we were so unsure. There's so much more we know, and they didn't seem to recognize it. So what changed? The science didn't change, because the science is exactly the same, because we've been following the science. And we knew this thing was going away, and we knew it a month ago. We knew it 2 months ago. We knew most likely 3 months ago, based on what we had seen immediately in January as it started coming down drastically, and we went, oops. And then the question started being asked, is that herd immunity? Were we closer to herd immunity at that point? Because certainly it wasn't the vaccines in the middle of January, but you saw that peak and then it started sharply declining. And so those questions were being asked and it kept going down.
Right.
And so, why? The only thing that we could tell you why, as we have stated before, is they were trying to push through as much legislation as they possibly could to spend trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And as long as they kept America in a panic, there was more likely to get support, that the polls would show that this is what the people want.
Mm-hmm.
By doing what they did yesterday, they've told the American public it's over.
Right.
That's what they've done. And now it will be harder for them. The Republicans will say, wait a minute, people don't have to wear masks anymore. We don't need to extend this past September. That was their hope.
Yeah.
We can extend this past September. There will be pressure now on states to say, okay, it's over. We're going to cut out the extra unemployment too. We need to get the economy going. But I think the pressure was so great and the internal polling was so great, even from Democrats that the feedback they were getting is, you people are out of touch. Society is moving on and you guys are, you guys are making it seem like we're in the middle of the pandemic.
Right.
And we had sensed this. We sensed this a couple of months ago. We said, no, there's a lot of optimism out there. We remember the optimism that existed. It was in early March. Remember when the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, came out and said, okay, by the, you know, what was it, by the end of March 15th, I forgot, when we lifted everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said, you know, this is, we're done. We're going.
Yeah, he announced it like 8 days ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going full bore back, and the left went crazy.
Yep.
Well, he ended up being right.
Yeah, the president called him a Neanderthal.
Yeah. Yeah, he ended up being right.
Mm-hmm. And this is the other thing, too. I think they're looking at it and seeing that the states that have opened up, look, DeSantis gets credit. Greg Abbott gets credit. That's the way it works. And they're getting hammered in social media. They look ridiculous when they stay on this. Fauci had his hat handed to him by Rand Paul. Not that many people would pay attention to that, but it is important in that it's really what we said and have been saying for a while now. People have tuned out. They quit listening to Fauci. They really quit listening to that. They've made their own decision. Whether they got the vaccine or not, though, for those that got it, it's, look, they say it works, and I can move on. I don't need to do this. Everything at the point up until yesterday, in the recent couple of weeks, at least few weeks, if not months, has been about virtue signaling with masks. And the far left loved that. And the media still loved it. I saw it just the other day. It was Monday or Tuesday. I saw another reporter outside, alone, reporting while wearing a mask. It's virtue signaling.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I care more. I'm worried. And by the way, they don't have to do anything except post a picture or just wear it face to face. And it's right there. The mask became the face of that type of virtue signaling. That's over. We're done with that as a society. And I think that's what they saw internally. And it just became a mess for them. And it's a mess that they could fix and just walk away from. And I think that's exactly what they did yesterday.
866-90-RED-EYE.
2020 already was a bad year for wildfires.
Last year, we saw over 10 million acres burn, 50% above the 10-year average. And tragically, in addition to the loss of life and property, we also lost 12 of our brave firefighters, pilots, and equipment officers as a result of these horrific fires.
That was Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
That's why I was troubled, and I'm sure the Secretary was troubled as well, when we received a briefing today suggesting that at this point in time, the signals and indications are that we are headed to yet another very dangerous fire year.
He was joined on a media call by Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, who noted that wildfires are related to climate change.
We owe it to the brave women and men on the front line to ensure we are giving them all the tools and training they need to protect our families, our lands, and our planet from the increasing threat of fire. To do so, we must confront the reality that a changing climate is fueling these fire disasters.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Jim in Illinois. Jim, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Gary and Eric. Great show tonight.
Thanks.
Hey, you know, between the total reversal on the swearing of the masks, you know,
yep,
by the CDC,
yep,
and the total lack of conviction to support the Israelis, which is what they're going through with, the assault on them by the Palestinians and and their enemies,
Hamas,
and also the fact that it takes just a few hackers to bring down what, half of the fuel supply to a major coast of the United States, all right? That shows that, you know, under the Biden administration, this nation is really totally, it shows to our enemies that the total vulnerability and how weak we are right now under this leadership. And I just don't know how we're going to get past that within before the 2022 election, you know? I think someone's got to take advantage of us. The Chinese are on the rise, and they see a nation divided. You know, they're dividing us at the school level with our children, you know, with the political correctness and the race issue, that they're putting us on the brink of civil war, so that a nation divided is a nation easy to conquer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to get past it.
We've always been a nation divided, by the way, but we are divided in a way where you now have, and there is a weakness where you have a Democratic Party that makes it clear they don't believe in the United States. They don't believe in the Constitution. We've talked about this before. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in the freedom of religion. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. They don't believe in due process under the law. And so when you see that, when you see, you know, the turn on masks was something domestic and that was political. Israel, he's trying to play it both ways, where he is coming out and saying Israel should be able to defend themselves and being insulted by the far left. But that itself, for example, Biden didn't take as much of a liberal stand on Israel as Obama might have, because Obama early on just rejected Israel to the point where it shocked a lot of Jewish leaders out there. I still remember you and I, Eric, were saying these Jewish leaders are shocked about Obama, and we just went, what, are you out of your mind? You haven't been paying attention? Yeah. He made it clear where he stood on the Israelis.
Yeah.
Biden, by calling Netanyahu and saying you have a right to defend yourself from Hamas, is not as strong as a message as I would put out as president, but it wasn't as bad as other Democrat leaders have put out in the past. As to the pipeline, the pipeline problem existed before Biden. Okay, let's be honest. It exists, but does it show weakness? Yes. And
in terms of the response,
I sense weakness. I sense, you know, being hesitant. If you're going to talk about it, you better be absolutely, absolutely blunt as to there is going to be, you know, repercussions here. And he does not come out in a day and age where, cyber terror is an act of war. It doesn't seem as if the president is taking it as seriously as he should, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the news that hit yesterday that the pipeline owners paid the ransom of nearly $5 million.
And whether he knew about
there's
it.
There's a couple of things there. You and I have been asking the question, and a lot of people asking the question, did that happen direct? Did they feel they were getting any cooperation from the administration? The FBI is involved because of the nature of the crime that's involved. But the administration, it seems, did not take the lead here. And the pipeline is getting back online. They believe, in fact, certainly by Monday, that it's going to be back up to full capacity. If that is true, and you're going to see essentially the temporary shortages that were happening are going to go away fairly quickly, the Biden administration does not get credit for that. And that's a problem. If you've got a situation like that where a foreign entity is able to do this, this group is able to shut down a pipeline and disrupt things like that, and this administration is clueless, seemingly, as to how to handle it, and they ultimately didn't, then the American public senses that, and that is weakness. Our enemies,
yes,
and our allies notice that.
The sense of indecision was huge yesterday.
It was just pathetic. Mm-hmm. Here's your forecast.
Over the next 5 to 7 days, we'll see heavy rain showers from south-central Kansas into the state of Oklahoma and north-central Texas. The bulk of those showers will come next week. 5 inches or more of rain in that area can be expected. Your forecast for today, those showers will be likely limited to portions of central Nebraska and northern Kansas and extending somewhat into the Dakotas as an area of low pressure rides along a stationary front. Late tonight into tomorrow, scattered showers will be developing in portions of the northern and central Rockies. But for the most part today, the country will be dry. East of the Mississippi will be a little cooler than normal average temperatures under sunny conditions for the Midwest, the Deep South, the Mid-Atlantic, and Northeast. In the West, clouds, but generally warmer than seasonal averages. And there's your national forecast this Friday from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
The Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. One of the biggest mistakes we think the administration made and the CDC made was when they stopped the Johnson & Johnson. And, you know, when they paused the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and then started up again a couple of weeks later, and we never found out why. Because our whole question was, well, did you find no tie-in? What did you learn? Why did you pause it for the 2 weeks? And as you could see, once that happened, there was a direct correlation from when they paused that to fewer people getting the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. You look at it, you can see the date they did it, and you can see within a couple of days, there it comes all the way down to the point where we were over 3 million vaccines a day, and now it's a little over 2 million. So a third drop at that point, still with roughly, well, those over 8 or those over 12 years of age, probably you've only vaccinated 55% of Americans.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Have gotten their first shot. So you look at that and you say, well, why did they do it? And what did they find? And you and I have been searching for it. Finally, Wall Street Journal came out with an article the other day that doesn't say why they paused the Johnson & Johnson and what they found on it. But this is where they say a scientist in Germany believes that they have believed that they might have found the answer and that there is a relationship, at least with AstraZeneca.
Right.
Two very rare cases of causing blood clots, and they talk about that their hypothesis is that a certain preservative, which is common to drugs and other products, helps proteins stray into the bloodstream where they bind to a blood component called platelet factor 4, forming complexes that activate the production of antibodies. The inflammation caused by the vaccines could trick the immune system into believing the body had been infected by bacteria, triggering an archaic defense mechanism that runs out of control, then causes clotting or bleeding. Maybe. It could is what they're saying. But that's just in AstraZeneca. They're just starting on Johnson & Johnson,
right,
which means they never found a tie-in. They never had one in the beginning and never said, okay, we've discounted any tie-in. Now we can, you know, allow it back again. They just did it.
Yeah, right.
And that's why you and I have been questioning this from the very, very beginning. This is what stinks about so many in the media, because that was the first question we had. Well, why'd you bring it back? What did you find? Because we didn't believe at that point that they would be able to do studies that quickly to find out whether there was a relationship between Johnson & Johnson and the blood clotting.
Right.
You wouldn't be able to figure it out that quick. In people we didn't think. End up being right that they're still looking into it. They suspect it, but there is nothing certain at this particular point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe it likely is going to be months at least before they
right.
find out.
And but, so the question is, why did you pause it then?
Yeah, right.
So that's where they are right now. This is an article that came out. It says, blood expert says he found why some COVID-19 vaccines trigger rare clots. This is the AstraZeneca. They're just starting on the Johnson & Johnson. So, and this is a scientist in Germany that believes he might have. Okay, that's where we might
right,
have.
Right.
But that's AstraZeneca. They're just starting the experiments or the research on Johnson & Johnson. But it's really important because that was one of the reasons that a significant number of people decided not to get the vaccine that, you know, were teetering back and forth. Are we going to get it or not?
Yeah, if you were on the fence, if people were on the fence at that point, that just took a lot of the confidence out of the sales, you know, of those individuals.
Yep.
And they kept it off the market for much longer than anticipated and then put it back on the market with no real reason. Well, why? What did you find?
And despite all the major media blitz, Caitlyn Jenner's bid to become the next governor of California is off to a very slow start with just 6% support in a new poll. If that poll is true, well, then that could only mean by the Democrat standard that California is transphobic. There is no other reason, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, right.
Right, right. By the Democrat standard, we're not
right.
Not our standard.
We're just, right, yeah, it's by clear. The, by their own standard. As far as we know, those standards haven't changed.
The high-profile former Olympian and reality TV star got anemic support in the poll from the University of Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies poll conducted by the L.A. Times. Even among Republicans, only 13% said they'd be inclined to vote for Caitlin, said the director of the poll. It was a very poor showing. Former San Diego mayor Kevin Falconer and businessman John Cox are leading the Republican field in the poll, but with each getting backing from just 22% of those polled. There doesn't seem to be a significant constituency for Caitlin's campaign.
Hmm.
Slightly more than half, 52%, said they approved of current Governor Gavin Newsom despite efforts to recall him, the poll showed. That support was down from previous polls.
Hmm.
So there you go.
All right.
And so we'll see what happens at that, you know, at this point. We've always believed that Newsom would be able to withstand the recall.
Yeah, I believe that he will win. There's no reason to believe at this point that he won't. It certainly sends a loud message that he has to go through it. But I do believe ultimately he will win that recall election. My question is, like, I follow Richard Grenell online on social media. And he's been tweeting things about the election and the recall. But nothing official yet. The rumor was that he might jump in. But nothing yet. But he's been tweeting and retweeting things about Caitlin, not just the governor, but Caitlin as well.
I'm assuming not complimentary?
Not complimentary. So, I don't know. I don't know these... when we would expect an announcement, but it likely would be soon. We'll see.
Oh,
if he runs.
Oh! I didn't want to. We talked about this in our pre-show meeting.
Okay,
over five hours ago.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the story and I went, I don't care. And you went, no.
Yeah.
And this is on Ellen DeGeneres, and the show's going to end, but in a year?
Yeah, no, here's the thing is that, well, first of all, the big controversy that there was a toxic work environment and the whole thing, and then they announced earlier this week that next year they're going to end the season or end the show after 19 seasons, and I started freaking out. Well, yesterday she...
I started freaking out.
And yesterday, she made the comment that it wasn't about the toxic work environment scandal. It was about Trump.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, that's the first time that I had laughed at anything Helen or Ellen said. Is it Ellen?
Ellen, yes.
Yeah. That Ellen said in a long time. She made me laugh. There's that.
Did she go into specific details about why it was Trump that somehow was making her quit after Trump is gone?
You just have to say Trump, and that's literally get away with just saying his name, and then you get the excuse. But I've been in freakout mode since they announced it, because they announced that they're going to do it and end it next year. After 19 seasons, my OCD requires they go a full 20. It has to be an even 20. I don't watch it. I don't care to watch it. I won't be watching the last show. Oh, the media is going to be Ellen's last show. I don't care anything about the show. I don't watch daytime shows at all. But my OCD requires a full even 20. If they weren't going to end it at an even 10, then they need to go the full measure and go 20 so that my OCD settles back down. That's all I ask. It's not because of the toxic work environment claims. It's because of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
One of the former producers on her show kind of tweeted something and went after her yesterday. That maybe she should go work in a zoo or something so she can work with animals or something like that.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, because...
Whoa!
Yeah. I mean, the claims in terms of the toxic work environment were fairly strong. I mean, you know, and repeated. I wonder if she was having, or they were having, a hard time booking guests more and more.
Well, she's got to book them, what, for another year at least?
Yeah.
Or sometime. I mean, I don't know how long.
Well, but you can always find a kid on YouTube, right, that's doing something funny.
Find a cat video.
Well, that's what she does. That's most often when I see something that's trending from her show. It's that she found somebody on YouTube that did something. You know, or she found a story that was trending. And then she has the person that's the focus of that story, like the kid who, you know, started a lemonade stand to raise money for something worthy, and then she brings the kid on. But that's your daytime audience. That's what you're supposed to do, apparently. What you're not supposed to do is have a toxic work environment. From what I understand... From what I understand, that's
okay. Here it is. Ellen DeGeneres denies toxic workplace claims led to her ending talk show. Cites the climate of hatred under Trump.
Okay, all right. Hatred. Were her ratings bad under Trump or good? I don't know.
She was asked during an interview Thursday with host Savannah Guthrie on NBC's Today. Guthrie asked if she had trouble making the decision to end her show, and as DeGeneres said, she had first thought of ending the show in 2018 because of the hatred during the Trump administration.
Okay. Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, okay.
That's just so dumb. I mean, nobody believes it.
Yeah.
What does your individual talk show that doesn't really deal in politics much have to do with the president of the United States?
Right. In fact, wouldn't you make the case that, and keep in mind, she is a comedian, technically. So wouldn't you make the case that, look, we hope to bring, some respite and a nice break in everybody's day by providing entertainment? No, that's a lame excuse. It's a lame excuse. But liberals use lame excuses all the time. Well, and I mean, and his name is Trump.
Well, and again, I mean, maybe if there were she insulted him and he heard it and tweeted about her.
Well, I mean,
and she got upset. But I mean,
if
that's
there was
the,
a social media war, something but going that, on between them. Yeah,
but that's what you deal with. Once you, it's like, no, I attack somebody and they attack me back, and therefore I'm not going to be around with that climate of hate. Well, you got involved in it. You decided to get into the arena of political ideas, and you didn't like getting hit back. That's a dumb reason.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The fuel and exhaust systems inside diesel engines work closely together. As a result, fuel and exhaust-related issues can be some of the most difficult to diagnose. A symptom in one system can often arise from a problem in the other. Here is a common fuel and exhaust issue that might not be what it first appears. Your equipment is emitting sooty exhaust. Thick black exhaust is a sign of a soot problem, which can often be traced back to an issue in the fuel system, a plugged fuel filter. Critical for keeping contaminants out of your engine, a properly working filter allows clean fuel to flow freely through. Fuel filters are prone to plugging when the fuel that has already passed through it fails to burn completely during combustion. This leftover fuel, now chemically damaged, will gradually plug the filter as it makes its way back into the fuel line for a second cycle. To help prevent sooty exhaust, not to mention decreased power resulting from restricted fuel flow, Cenex Premium Diesel contains aggressive detergents that clean your entire fuel system, including the filter.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I really wonder today and over the weekend what the response of the administration is going to be, because this is really the recognition, I think, by the country that cyber terrorism can be an act of war.
Yep.
And it can seriously harm our society. And what's the response of the president going to be when yesterday it seemed quite hesitant to really tell America, hey, this is what it's about and here's what we might do.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.